It's not.
Yep.
But I understand.
That's a great point to make. And as we look at these things, one writer said this, let's not make the mistake of diminishing the power of God in all of this stuff. Like, you know, we looking at this, but don't get it twisted that God is not able to bring all of this together when we seeking truth. If we're seeking the Lord, he said, if you seek me with all your heart, and if you cry out for truth and wisdom and understanding, you're going to find it. God is not going to let us be led astray. So with that being said, this is a tough subject. And I understand why a lot of it is just left alone, because it's a tough subject because of these reasons, because some of it's not in the Bible. And the millennial long argument over whether it's accepted text or not, whether we should even be reading this. I mean, when we're referring to books that are no longer considered canon, and you have references to content that's in these books that actually could inform our gospel and empower us even more, it makes it tough when you're continually watching people who believe in Jesus, who believe in God, they believe in the creator of the ends of the earth, but at the same time, they are struggling. Like, really struggling. It's like, man, you know, that can be undone with this certain understanding of Scripture. And so just like Brother Dan just said, to how some of the texts that we're referencing, and some of the texts that are referenced in Scripture that is received as canon, the lack of understanding of those things is where the enemy gets in and works and distorts all of that. So it'd be better for us to learn it, so we're able to say when somebody come in with something twisted and perverted, no, I know about that. I know about knowing that's not a spinoff of some sun god. Let me tell you what that is. And let me tell you how that plays into the Scriptures, rather than, you know, I just don't think it's true. We just need to disbelieve God. We need to be a little more informed. Amen. I mean, if we're going to defend our faith, then let us defend our faith with a context that's greater than the context that we have, which would be closer to the context to the people that had it when this was written and they read it. Their context was much broader than ours. And whether that's spiritual, scriptural, historical, or geographical, their context is a whole. So if you said Sinai or Hermon or Bashan or some of these names to a first century Jew, they would be able to run down a history of wars and everything. And we just hear these names and cities and locations, and we don't know nothing about what's going on, right? But they knew the significance of the places and the things that were being said in these Scriptures. Okay, so I'm not trying to make this a very technical study. I'm not trying to make it like this really in-depth, and let's break down Hebrew and let's break down Greek and let's learn Babylonian, you know, and hieroglyphs and all. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that to get a broader understanding is gonna help us. The Bible is basically a story, and it is inspired. And I just want to make sure I say that I don't have any questions about whether the Bible is inspired or received or questionable or it contradicts or anything like that. I am not saying that. I do not believe that at all. But there are a lot of things in the Bible without a broader context that just don't make sense. And if you think about it, the Bible is put together very unsystematically because of who it's being written to. So that's why it doesn't make sense to us. The people who read it in their context, they would know the system of things. They would know how to put it all together. We read it and we have no idea how all of the things connect. We don't even know. I mean, some of us don't even are just reading the Bible chronologically for the first time. Some of us have never even read the Bible all the way through. We just lived on a few great songs and a few Sunday school lessons and the basics, you know, the story of Noah and Jonah, and that's what we know about the gospel, that Jesus ultimately came. And we will be the very ones wondering why our prayers aren't being answered and wondering why I feel like I have no power. Why is my joy coming and going? What is going on with me? Am I saved? What is the meaning of my life? What's my calling? Did I miss something? And I'm just saying, a lot of us have missed something. Okay, so ignoring this broader context that obviously was trusted enough to be included in our inspired text only gives way to more confusion if we ignore it. We can't ignore this. So the references that we're going to look at, if we do not become familiar with them. Now, and I want you to really think carefully about what I'm getting ready to say so that you know what my passion is in doing this. Most of the ignored context usually leads to a mischaracterization of who God is. I mean, think about it. If we're talking about, like right now, we're talking about kingdoms divided, and the reasons for the war, right? And people are saying, if God is love, then why did he let all those people get killed? So it totally mischaracterizes who God is. But if we look at if we carefully analyze the wars and the meanings of the wars based on text referred to, or get a better understanding of the text that we do have, it brings God to the forefront like, oh, God never wanted to hurt any people. God is love. He really is love. And the wars weren't just about Israel, and it wasn't just about land. It was about a force that was coming against this creation that he wanted to do away with. So if we look at this text, Ephesians 6:10 through 12, says, for we wrestle not against, no, that's not what it says. It says, be strong in the Lord. I hope y'all are remembering these verses. In whatever version of the Bible you read, memorize. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places or in heavenly places or in an unseen world. In one version, remember I told you it said, for we are not struggling, we're not doing combat with embodied creatures. This is a full-on head-to-toe bout with forces that you can't even see. And if you go back to those symptoms, the reason you might not want to pray, the reason you might suddenly be fighting with a co-worker or a neighbor or your family members, the reason you might be suddenly sick or have sudden financial misfortune and all of these other things that we just don't understand, the Bible is saying, man, listen, all of this stuff is not simply personal responsibility. Some of this stuff is demonic. And it's coming against you. I don't think Pam will mind me telling you this, but she's not in the room. I doubt that she would mind. I'm just going to tell y'all. It's a lot of stuff I don't tell y'all because I know some of this stuff is just for the, you know, it's weird. But I know some of y'all have weird dreams and weird experiences and stuff like that too. So I ain't even getting ready to trip. Look, Miles gave me a thumbs up like, yep, I do.
And Miles, you how old? How old are you, Miles? 9. So, okay. So anyway, I have a dream. In the dream, Pam is like playing with these little. It wasn't hairballs. It was a little bigger, but it was almost like a mix between black Brillo and hair. That's what it looked like. And so I'm looking at them in the dream. I'm looking at them in the dream, and it was almost like I could see like a little spirit hovering over it. And I'm like, and so in the dream, I'm telling her, I'm like, don't you see that's an evil spirit? And she was just like handling them. And I'm like, you need to put that down. And I woke up. So the whole day, I'm just like, hey, Lord, protect my, you know, like, you better not come in here messing with my woman. And so so as I started to pray, I'm like, what could this be? And it occurred to me, some of y'all might understand this by the power of the Spirit. It occurred to me that these things were real to her, but it was evil that was infusing them to make them something that they're not. So I called Pam and I told her. And she was like, praise the Lord, amen. Thank you for telling me that. So then, that was that day. The next day, however, the next day, I'm trying to work and she comes, start talking to me. And before I knew it, the conversation took off in a totally different direction. And I said, so I was going with it for a minute. Yeah, let's go on down this road. I was like, oh, wait. I said, let's remember what we committed to and where we were going to place certain things on our list of priorities. And I said, now, is this one of those things that's on the list of high priority that we said we're going to put a lot of energy into? Or is this one of those little things like I told you about that dream? She was like, you're right. She just walked away. Spanked that little butt right out of here. And we didn't have to review and get the oil out and all of this stuff. It was just simply, we got you. We know what you're trying to do right now. And you're not ready to do it. So this is what I'm saying. Of a spiritual awakening, the enemy can come in. Have us. I mean, Pam, if we went back 15 years, what could that have led to? Oh. Days without talking. I'm just telling y'all the truth. Maybe y'all ain't been married that long where y'all have fallen. Didn't talk for days or weeks, months. The tension was thick enough to, yeah. But we had. So we're not wrestling. This is, if you think about it, this is all coming on the backside of community. Husbands, love your wives. Christ loved the church. Wives, submit to your husbands. The children, obey your parents. Bosses, treat your employees right. Employees, treat your, and now all of these saying, all of this is threatened by one thing, and it's not flesh and blood. For you to stay in character, keep your blessing, and see the glory of God working in your life, it's only one thing that you really fight with, and it's not flesh and blood. So last week, I left off with the story that Brother Dan mentioned, which was the story of a man named Legion. I want to read to you from a resource. And so I'm not really going to go on with this today. I just wanted, this is like another little bite size in the direction of clearly understanding the kingdom of God in your life and how there's another kingdom coming against us. Because we have been, what? Delivered from the power of Satan and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. We are heirs. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. But you know what? If we don't understand how that works, every blessing that comes with it, we are subject to miss it. But it doesn't mean it's not there for us.
This is what this brother says. He says, Legion, because if you weren't here, the story is about the Legion. That was the man in the caves, in the Gergesenes. He was out there running around naked. They couldn't contain him. They were putting in chains. He would break the chains. And he was living out in the tombs among the dead. Okay? And then the Bible says he was also taking stones and cutting himself. Cutting. That ring a bell? And so Jesus comes to this man. The man runs, falls down at his feet and says, Oh Lord, Son of the Most High God. And Jesus delivers him. Delivers this man. Everybody else has threw the man away. Everybody else rejected him. We don't know what to do with you. Today he would be in an insane asylum. They'd have him in a straitjacket, medicated. Jesus came and said, no, these are devils.
Alright.
I mean, I was trying to calm down before I got there. I'm sorry. Sometimes I so if I start to get way high, somebody can do it. Alright. So Legion, this writer says. He says, Legion identifies Jesus as the Son of the Most High.
Fall out of here. It's gonna sound horrible if I don't. I'm sorry, y'all.
He identifies him as Son of the Most High, a title that reflects the Old Testament theology of cosmic geography. And what that means is, and this is not him saying this, I'm saying this, what that means is they looked at the stars and the host of heaven as a way to talk about and to identify things and people and places. I mean, you remember the Revelation, he said, and I saw the sun and the moon, and there I saw a woman, and she, well, a lot of scholars believe that all of that was an astrological interpretation of what was going to take place on the earth. Then there's a debate on whether it happened already or not, and I just don't get into that kind of stuff. Okay, so, but anyway, back to him, he says, recall that in Deuteronomy 32, verses 8 and 9, which I read to you last week, where it says the Most High had disinherited the nations of the world, assigned them to the dominion of supernatural sons of God, and then created Israel as his own inheritance from nothing. And this is me talking. Brother Travis made a great point last week when we looked at because who was it? That was Ryan that noted that was from Babylon and the Tower of Babel. And that's when they were all divided up. And at the end of Genesis 11, we saw where Abraham came into play, Abram. And then in chapter 12, right after they said that they were going to build a tower up to heaven and make themselves a name, God comes to Abram and says, I'm going to make you a great name. And so Travis was showing how that they were going about making their own name the wrong way. But God came and said, I'm going to make you a great nation and I'm going to make you a name. All right. And so 180 of those sons of God rebelled and became corrupt. You can read that in Psalm 82 verses 1 through 4. And I'm actually going to read that. Throwing God's order into chaos. The exorcism of Legion, which was the man who lived in the tombs, is therefore more than a strange tale of suicidal swine. It's about theological messaging. Legion recognizes that Jesus is the rightful Lord of the country of the Gergesenes, old Bashan, now under Gentile occupation. He goes on to say, these familiar episodes in the ministry of Jesus occur in the darkest, most spiritually sinister places known to Old Testament Israelites and Jewish readers of the Old Testament.
Bashan and Hermon were ground zero for spiritual evil, and in particular, the watchers of the first book of Enoch. The spiritual corruption of humanity would be healed by the atonement of the cross. His resurrection meant that no member of the kingdom of God would share living space with the watchers in the underworld abyss, the realm of the dead. Even an army of watchers was overmatched by the Son of the Most High. They would be lords of nothing. Okay? So now this brother that wrote this, I'll tell you what the book is if you want to get it. But I checked him out a long time before I even introduced any of this to y'all. And he do his own work. He doesn't rely on just his own research. He does many peer-reviewed doctorates, people who've done their dissertations and these kind of things, and sat down with Jewish rabbis, and I mean, been all over in Israel, all up in, I mean, he own it, all right? And so if we just look at these things that he said, if you have your Bibles, just go to Psalm 82, and we'll just look at that. And this is a book that he referred to saying that, oh, Jordan got it up for us. This is a book he referred to. And now I'm going to tell you some controversy around this and why it's so important to know these texts. It says, God stands, this is Psalm 82:1. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked, Selah? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But you shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. So it's a couple of things in here to look at, first of all. When he says, I have said you are gods, you have people today who look at this verse and assume that he's talking to men and telling us that we're gods. So you have a whole doctrine out there of people who are saying there's the God, and then there we are his sons and we're little gods. And they really believe that. I was one of the people a long time ago. I was off on that road. And it was an old man. Old man rebuked me on the radio because I called in. Like, I'm a God, man. He was like, young man, I am telling you, you need to understand that verse. And hung up on me. I felt so offended. Because I liked him and I looked up to him. You know, I'm listening to this brother every week, always. But this thing had come into my sphere of understanding and was taking me down the wrong road. And he didn't waste no time telling me, son, they are not talking about men. We're talking about one of the holy ones. One of these sons, like we look at Job and in Genesis 6 and other verses that know there are sons of God who were there when he created the earth and all of that, you know, they were there. So why am I saying that? I'm saying because look at what ignoring what these texts can lead to. It can lead men to believing by the influence of evil spirits. So, oh, they don't understand that. I'm going to make these jokers think they gods. Oh, then y'all not going to study it? Y'all not going to look into it? Y'all just going to keep ignoring that there is something more to what you're seeing? Oh, okay, yeah. So I'm going to take Jesus and I'm going to bring him back and I'm going to make him quote. He going to quote the same thing and I'm going to just twist all of that up for y'all. That's just one thing. But it informs our gospel for us to know that these sons of God, evil forces, man, against us, against God. And they're against us because of God. You can look up how many times look up Bashan and Harmon. Jordan, can you go to this? I wanted to show y'all something. Maybe go back a little bit more. Okay, yeah, a little bit more. Yeah. Jordan is the boss. A little bit more. Okay, yeah, right, that one right there. So I wanted to show y'all this in Deuteronomy 32. So this is Blue Letter Bible. I love the work. It's on the website, so it's a free source to study from. So that verse where it says in Deuteronomy 32 verse 8, it says, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. And that's KJV. Well, the thing I love about Blue Letter Bible is when you look it up, they give you all, you can just click on Bibles and they'll show you every translation. So both the new and the old KJV, they both say children of Israel, if you can see that. New Living Translation says that the human race was divided up according to the number in his heavenly court. NIV goes to the sons of Israel. ESV says mankind was divided according to the number of the sons of God. And remember, I told you the ESV came along after they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. So that ended a lot of debate for a lot of people, because the Dead Sea Scrolls was an older text and they were able to confirm a lot of the text that they were looking at. Okay? Go down a little bit. So the New English translation, when he divided up humankind according to the number of the heavenly assembly, and the Revised Standard Version, when the Most High divided up the sons of men according to the numbers of the sons of God. Okay? So now, why am I going through all of this? This may seem like, and I know this is probably kind of like a little like over the top with information, but I'm going over this to show you that, first of all, the nations were divided up. And they weren't just divided up to people according to the scriptures. They were divided up according to the sons of men. Then Ryan asked a great question, which we gotta wrestle with this question and try to come to a conclusion last week. Well, okay, when the nations were divided up, were these sons of God corrupted already? Or did that happen sometime after they were corrupted? We're gonna talk about that. But nevertheless, sons of God, what does it say? We're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Principalities is just like a principal at a school. You only have one principal per school, right? I mean, you go to high school, you might have a freshman principal, but you ultimately have one principal. That's because there's a place that it rules over. There's a territory. We were wrestling against principalities. How many of y'all have ever been somewhere and felt like, man, there's something wrong with that city? People come to Kankakee and say, hey, I've been living here. I've been back here for 13 years. And I'm telling y'all, sometimes, man, I have left this town and got up in the hills of Tennessee. And it's like, ooh, this is nice. I feel so much lighter, and come back and it's like, oh, like it's real. It's a principality. And sometimes you can go some places and it's like, why is this one thing over the whole city? Like the Kankakee can't change principality. Like these churches ain't never gonna work together, principality. And these different things that you can see that pervade certain areas, where you see in other areas, it's like, man, how are they doing it? And I'm going to tell you something. Some people, governors, and people, mayors, they go to these other places and say, we want to glean from what you're doing. And they bring back the same plans, not understanding you're dealing with something spiritual. That's why you can bring the same plan that they're doing back to your place, but if you don't deal with the principalities, it ain't gonna work. And you're gonna blame it on the people. So it's when we understand these kind of things, whether it's your house, your job, your city, your family, your marriage, we're dealing with spiritual forces. And it's real, but I believe sometimes that we don't want to deal with spiritual forces. And I'm speaking generally. It's harder to face the fact that I'm dealing with a spiritual force when I don't understand the gospel. Because then I will subsequently take on more personal responsibility in this battle, and that's scary. So it's more peace in my mind if I just say, nah, that ain't the devil. Because if I admit it, I'm looking at a resolve that I have to come to in my commitment to the Lord. And I'm thinking about all the, what I believe are the things I'm going to have to do. I impose things on myself based on my former traditional knowledge of what it means to be protected by the Lord. And I'll start saying, well, I'm not doing this, so the Lord ain't going to protect me. I'm not doing this, and so the Lord ain't going to hear me. You know, I got too far to go to see the power of God work in my life. When he says, we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And what God gives, he gives freely. A price has been paid for it. And you can call on him, and he will listen to you. He will protect your children and your house. Amen. He will. If you ask him, he says, if you need wisdom, he will give you the wisdom you need. Amen. He will. I mean, I'm hearing people right here in this room telling me things that I don't know what happened, but somehow I just got it figured out and everything's different now. You ask God. You remember, it might have been 8 months ago. You know, or a year ago or 2 years ago, but you asked him and now it's different for you. And so this, if we start looking at, look, God is not out to get you. He's not out to make you do something you can't do so you can get something you can't pay for. Right? I mean, who's worth the grace of God? Who's worth it? Who's worthy of the blood of the Lamb? Who's worthy of his name? His name that makes devils run and tremble. Who's worthy to bear that name? None of us. It's a free gift. Amen. And so if we understand first, okay, listen, this is a battle going on between my Heavenly Father and my adversary. And God, out of his grace and mercy, wants to glorify his name in me. Like Christ in us, the hope of glory. Isn't that what the scripture said? The hope of glory is Christ in me to defame the wicked one. And for that very reason, if I call him, look, sometimes, I'm going to tell you this. Sometimes some of us are weak because we try to be strong. But the scripture that we're reading, what does it say? Be strong, Brother Aaron. Is that what it say? Be strong, Brother Aaron. Just be strong, man. It says what? Be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might. You look through the New Testament, Old Testament. You look at all of these things. I mean, Billy pointed out last week. He said, hey, man, don't forget about that verse that says in 1 John 3:8, he that commits sin is of the devil. In other words, he that's committed to sin, which we're not, right? We're not committed to it. You might struggle with it. You might have to resist it. But remember, he said, resist the devil. And he will flee. He's telling you right there, where it's all coming from. So you got to resist him. But this is what he says. He says, he that committed sin is of the devil from the beginning, who he sins from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Just telling you right there. Why is Jesus here? See, we say, well, he came to die on the cross to save us for our sin. That's why I told y'all. Yes, that and to destroy the works of the devil. So let us exalt the Lord. Let us exalt the Lord. Let us humble ourselves and say, Lord, I can't do nothing without you. I can't do nothing without you. I know your grace is sufficient for me. I'm asking you for the wisdom I need. Help me understand all of this stuff. I want to stop depending on myself so much. I want to stop leaning on my own understanding. Show me where I am leaning on my understanding, even though I think I'm leaning on yours. Show me where I think that I'm leaning on your strength, but actually I'm really leaning on my own strength. Lord, show me so I don't become a hindrance to you fully manifesting and your glory and power through me, that you might be glorified in my life. Lord, I want to get to that place where when I pray, I know it's done because you have taught me what your will is, and that's why I can pray and trust that you will do whatever I do, because I know I just prayed according to your will. I know I did. I think when we get there, when our gospel is more informed, our homes, our ministry, our hearts, whatever, he said, whatever you do, whatever you touch, whatever you put your hands on. See, that's when it all those promises, that's when it really, wherever your foot touch, it's going to be blessed. And you know that because you know now with a much more informed gospel.